Here we go. Parshat Tzav. Too late. I started. Parshat Tzav is a repeat of the Korbanot listed in Vayikra. The difference between the two, right? When you first read it, you say, wait, I just did all this. I'm talking about the same Korbanot. Why do I have a repeat? It's not like Vayakal Bakude. This is like what's Tzav. So the difference is all the halachot that we spoke about in Vayikra were vis-a-vis Bnei Yisrael, what Bnei Yisrael has to do with the Korbanot. Now in Tzav, it deals with the Kohanim. The order also you could see is different. In Vayikra, the order we spoke about were first Korbanot Nidavot. What were those again?
Optionary.
Okay, voluntary. Yeah. Right? I decided to bring. And then only afterwards we talked about the Korbanot Chovah, the obligatory. Here, in Parshat Tzav, we start off with the Kodshei Kedashim, the Korbanot that have a status of Kodshei Kedashim, which I'll speak about in a second, which are on a higher level of Kedusha, and then only followed by the Kodshim Kalim. In Tzav, the order is permissibility to eat. We start off with Korban Ola. Who could eat the Korban Ola? No one. Okay, it's totally consumed. Then we move into the Mincha and Chatat. Who can eat that? Only the Kohanim. Only afterwards we move into the Shlamim, which, as we said last time, is shared, make shalom, between everybody. Now, the Ola is burnt through the night. That's how the Parsha begins. The Ola is burnt through the night. In the morning, the first avoda that the Kohen has to do is what's called Trumat HaDeshen. Trumat HaDeshen, we spoke about the Deshen of the ashes. It's removing the ashes from the Mizbeach and putting it in a pile, which was then called the Deshen, right? The ashes from the Mizbeach was then put into a pile next to the Mizbeach. We spoke about last time that some of the stuff is taken and thrown into the Deshen. That is this pile of ashes that is next to the Mizbeach. When the pile got big, it was removed out of the machane, out of the camp. Talking about right now, not the Beit HaMikdash, but the Mishkan when they were traveling in the Midbar. Now, in the Mishkan, the Mizbeach was rather small. The Mizbeach was 5 amot by 5 amot. An amot, as we know, is, from your elbow to your fingertip. Different opinions, but anywhere between, let's say, a foot and a half and 2 feet. So we're talking anywhere between 7.5 by 7.5 to 10 feet by 10 feet. Either way, not very large, and therefore the ashes needed to be removed daily.
The Mizbeach was the altar? Altar,
the altar. No problem. Okay, Solomon wanted to ask, he just forgot. So there was a need to get rid of it daily. In the Beit HaMikdash, by Rishon, the Mizbeach was 20 amot by 20 amot. In Beit Sheni, it was 24 by 24. It was a lot of room. There was no need to remove the ashes daily. And instead, they made a big pile in the middle of the Mizbeach, which was called a tapuach. I don't know. Did they think it looked like an apple? I'm not really sure. But a tapuach. And this was considered kavod, to have this pile near the Mizbeach, because it showed people, look how many karbanot we had. See this pile. If anyone's seen like pictures of the Mizbeach and the Beit HaMikdash, they often have this like sort of round pile, which you don't really know what is that. He goes, this I can see is logs. They're like crisscrossed, and then you see this pile. So that's the tapuach. That's the ashes that's in the middle, and it was. I'll get to you in a sec. It was removed only when it got too much, but it was never removed on the Shlosh Regalim. Shlosh Regalim, everyone came. It was considered kavod for people to see. Wow, look how many korban over. Look how huge that pile was, and that was considered kavod to the Mizbeach, that people saw how much usage there was for the Mizbeach. Tio, then.
Yeah, maybe going to the crowd also, but that's a big pile of what
do you
say, ashes?
Ashes, yeah.
Because it means also a big old sin, maybe.
But not all carbonate were sins.
Yeah, but
I'm saying.
I don't know.
But like, first of all, even if they did, see that people wanted to do kapara. Right? So that's also a good sign. Okay. Right? Yeah.
Wait, the ashes don't blow in the wind, the ashes smells like outside.
I don't know. You're right.
It says that
in the base of Mikdash, it was a miracle that it went straight up and the wind didn't blow it. So that would be great for it by its Rishon. What about in the Mishkan? I don't know.
Now
in the Mishkan, it could be that it was still within like the curtains. It was right next to the curtain, and then it would be protected.
Did they have the 10 miracles in Beit Sheni also?
I don't think so. That's the whole idea. I talk about the difference between. So, I don't know. Did he get blown a little bit? Maybe. I don't know.
Why couldn't the Mishkan have the same thing?
What?
Why couldn't the Mishkan just...
I'm saying there's a curtain around it, so maybe the less chance for it to be blown around. I don't know. I never thought about, but yes, even if you want to say there was no wind with the column, maybe that also saved the ashes. But Cheney didn't have that. Don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I don't recall seeing anyone discussing it. Doesn't mean that's not discussed somewhere. It means I don't recall. Anyway, Trumat HaDeshen is such a beautiful lesson in humility. Here it is. The most lofty person in Klal Yisrael, the Kohen, the first job he does in the morning is taking out the trash. And it was considered an avoda. They had a goral. They had like lottery. Who gets to throw out the garbage? Right? This was considered a schus. I get to throw out the garbage. When the Kohen removed the ashes from the machaneh, he didn't wear his big day kohuna. Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch explains, he says he has to realize that we can't rest on our laurels. We can't say, yesterday I was amazing, so it doesn't matter about today. Yesterday I was wearing the big day kohanim, I was doing a vote in the Beit HaMikdash. Guess what? Today, you're putting on your jeans and t-shirt, and tossing out the trash. I don't care about yesterday. Right? So Kohen has to be brought back down and understand. Today we start fresh. We start all over. There's also a command, right, even though we're starting all over, there's also a command to keep an Eish Tamid. Right? We have to have the fire constantly burning, continuously through the night. So once again, Rav Hirsch tries to understand, how do we balance this conflict of the renewed Trumat HaDeshen daily in the Mishkan with the constant Eish Tamid? So he says the lesson is that man has to realize he starts over each day, but the Hitgalut Hashem, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu represented by the fire is constant. God is always there in my life, but each day I get to start fresh. Now that's, Latov Ulara. Latov, if I had a bad day yesterday, okay, I start new today. If I had a good day yesterday, I can't rest on that. I have to start again. So every day is a new day, but the constant in my life is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is how Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch understands it. He also says putting on the ashes on the side of the Mizbech. Like I would have thought, all right, you have to get rid of the garbage. Take it immediately, throw it out. Right? You wouldn't... What would you do? You collect all the garbage from your house and then just leave it by the front door for 2 days till you get a second pail and then a third thing and finally throw it out? No. Take it out of your house immediately. Why am I leaving it by the Mizbech? One sec. So he says that we declare that today's avoda is a continuation of the way we served the Kadosh Baruch Hu yesterday. See, here's all of yesterday's leftover stuff. We're not starting a new religion. We're continuing the tradition of yesterday. Here's yesterday's stuff. We're starting new today. What do you want to suggest?
So can I tell my parents they ought to ask me to throw up trash? Oh, it's just a code that we had so much food today, so much like bracha we have.
Well, why don't we just leave it on the plate? Why don't we just leave it on the plate? Why don't we leave it on the counter? Yes, till my sister comes along and takes it. No. So, yes, I got a sock. Now, I don't think so. But I do think that any person who prepares a big meal is happy when they bring out all these dishes and it's on the table and this table looks full. So the mizbech looking full with all the ashes. I understand that kavod thing. But with the trash, I think if your parents say to throw it out, you just throw it out. And not just that. I tell my kids, like in Israel, so you know there's like dumpsters like at the end of the block. So I'd always tell my kids, so I was like American, so I knew. I got a garbage pail outside and I put it on wheels, so they can take it down to the end of the block, toss it in the dumpster, and bring the pail back. So I'd always tell my kids, all right, go take out the garbage to the dumpster. And if one of them would start to groan, I'd say, oh, I so envy you. They look at me and say, Because like lufum sara agra, the harder it is for you, the more scarigan. And I would just do this right away. It would be no big deal for me to do it. But you're suffering. I envy you. How much scar you're getting. Wow, it's amazing. I'm so happy for you. So they never really liked those lines, but they had to do it. Now, the mincha is brought to this. Again, we took the kamitza. Cohen took the kamitza, brought it to the southeast corner of the mizbech. And then you took the whole dish to the southeast corner. You lit the kamitza there. It was taken there, and it was burnt on the mizbech with the leftovers eaten by the male kohanim in the chatzer of the mishkan. The Kohen Gadol brought a mincha every day. Okay? He brought a mincha every day. It was called Minchat Chavitin or Minchat Tamid, right? Because it was continual. What's the difference between continual and continuous? Good. Continuous is non-stop. You're breathing continuously. You eat breakfast, hopefully, continually. It doesn't go on for the rest of the day. So here, the Karban Tamid is continually brought in the morning and the afternoon. There, the Minchat Tamid is brought continually. Just so you should know, like a lot of times in Shul, it says by where the Shliach Tzibur stands, says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Right? So what does that mean? So God should be by me. He's trying to wake himself up. God should be by me. Tamid. So I think that David HaMelech, when he said it, meant I want God to be by me continuously. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. But we're lucky if continually we think of God at least when we're down. Okay, most of us, even when we daven, don't think about it. You know, but I think it's there. You know, remember God when you're davening. I don't think that's what David meant. I think he meant remember God all the time. But if we can do continually, that would be a step up for most of us. Anyway, back to the Karban Mincha. Half the shear was brought by the Kohen Gadol in the morning, and half the shear was brought in the afternoon. Now, the first time a Kohen did his avoda, right, he's a new Kohen doing avoda, he brought a minchat called Minchat Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, those of you have heard of the Sefer, Minchas Chinuch, this is where it comes from, Minchas Chinuch, but it's a beautiful idea. Chinuch means what? Like Chanukat
HaMizbeach.
Inauguration. What?
Inauguration.
Inauguration, dedication. Right? Dedication Mizbeach. Chinuch also means what? Education. So it's very clear that if you want to really be successful in education, you have to be dedicated. Without the dedication, there'll be no education. So chinuch, it makes sense that it's the same word that's used for both. Yes, Baruch.
What age did Kohen start in this Beis Mikdash?
I don't remember. I'm assuming it talks about by the Levium that they're there from 15 to 25, I think, learning. It says it straight out. I don't remember right now. And then they serve, I think, from 25 to 50. That's Levium. For Kohanim, I don't remember right now. But I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Maybe it's 20 to 25, and then they start from 25 to 30. Yeah, that's it. 20 to 25 for Levium, and 25 to 30, and 25 to 50. Is that the same with Kohanim? I don't remember right now.
Because, like, why do, like, little kids don't end in, like...
Oh, that's a beautiful idea. They don't have to, but, they can. If the only Kohen that's there is a kid under Bar Mitzvah, he should not do it, because he has no chiv. He's going up there with his parents. But Rav Soloveitchik, when he moved from Europe to Boston, someone asked him if the little kids should go. He said, absolutely, because he sees there's so many people that they become assimilated and they have no recall if they're a Kohen Levi Yisrael. So if a kid remembers, I remember when I was a kid, I used to go, so now at least, oh, I remember he's a Kohen. So, but I think today, why does a little kid wear tzitzit? Why does a little kid do any mitzvah? It's chinuch. Right? I mean, halachically, you don't do anything till your bar mitzvah. The only thing is, if you're not in the habit of doing anything, then it'll be very difficult for you to do it. So we start training kids at a young age to do it. Why not train Kohanim to do the same thing? Now again, it'll be a bracha levatala if it's only a little kid. So as long as he's going up, and then sometimes they'll tell a little kid, let's say only a father and son are there. So a male, one male, he doesn't make the bracha. I'm saying he makes the bracha, he's not called Kohanim. I take it back. He makes the bracha, you just don't say Kohanim. You have to have multiplicity. So if a father and son goes up there, sometimes they'll tell the kid, don't go up there. The people get confused, think there's two people, and they'll say Kohanim. It's not really Kohanim, it's only one Kohen that's over bar mitzvah, so sometimes a father will tell his kids, I've seen it, okay, you can't come up with me today because I'm the only coming in shul.
But even a kid over bar mitzvah, they wouldn't start in the basement until they were
20? I'm not sure. I know Levim, I'm pretty sure they learn from 20 to 25, then they start doing avodah. I don't remember right now about Kohanim. Okay, there is Mishnah Torah, the Pirchei Kohanim. There were young Kohanim that were doing things in the Beit HaMikdash. I just don't recall right now offhand. Okay, yeah.
When did the Kohen had to bring the Mincha?
The Kohen had to bring Minchat Chavitin every day, or Minchat Tamid every day. Half was offered in the morning, half in the afternoon. The first time a Kohen was doing his avoda, he brought a Minchas Chinuch, also a special carbon that he brought. This was not split in half. Now, the Mincha of the Kohen had no Kmitza. It was totally burnt. And the Abar Ben El said the Kohen had to first bring a carbon to sort of do tshuva himself before he can be involved in bringing all the carbonos for everyone else and helping them do tshuva. Okay. You're getting a jacket because you're cold?
Oh, no, I just went
down. Okay.
But it is pretty cold in if you want to turn it off.
What?
So just turn the vent down facing you. You stand underneath the AC. For those who are listening, we're putting the air conditioning in the middle of January because one person wants it. Just see anyone who's curious. Not just one. Only one that counts. All right. Moving on. Karban Chatat. Shechita was done in the north, like the Karban Ola. Shechita. That is a sin offering. Okay, Shechita was done in the north, like the Karban Ola. The Gemara says this was done on purpose so that people would not be embarrassed. If someone said, Daron's going off to the north, must be sinned. But it's Michal Shabbos. You know what? The people so he said, no, that's why they also bring the Karban Ola. Oh, okay. So this is sort of like to save face, and no one really knows why he's off there. So the Shechita was done in the north, like the Karban Ola. It was eaten, the Chatas, we said, not by Bnei Israel, only by Kohanim. Eaten by Kohanim, who could do the Avodah. So let's say you're a Kohen and you had a Psul. You had a blemish that didn't allow you to do the Avodah. You couldn't eat from this. Only Kohanim who were valid in regard to doing the Avodah could eat from this. Now, it had to be eaten in the chatzar of the Mishkan. Now, the Karban Chatas was different than other Karbanot. The Kli, the vessel that had the Karban Chatas, had to be kashered afterwards. A Kli Cheres couldn't be kashered. What do you do to Kli Cheres? You had to break it. But any other Kli had to be kashered. And it's probably not coincidentally, but we always read Tzav like right before Pesach, when we start kashering all of our dishes. Sort of like interesting that he's mentioning it over here. Okay. Hand up. Yes.
Koban Chatat and Koban Ola
were in the same area, so we wouldn't know why he's bringing it over there. Karban Asham, just like the Karban Chatas, is where the Ola is, the north. Again, it's like a sin thing, so it's not embarrassing. You burnt the Imurim, which we said last time with like the fats that we can't eat anyway. And it was eaten like the Chatas, meaning the Kohanim were able to do the Avodah. The hide of an Ola is given to the Kohen, and all the other Kadshei Kachim, which we said is the Mincha, Chatas, Asham, were eaten by the Kohanim. Okay? And now we finally move into the Kachim column. And that's the Shlamim. Karban Shlamim is brought, yes, sir? Yes. Okay? Karban Shlamim is brought on many occasions. Certainly, and there's some obligatory ones, like on Chagim, which is not discussed over here. But the most famous Karban Shlamim is what's referred to as a Karban Toda, which is brought for four different times that you fear your life is in danger. The Rosh Tevot is Chayim. Who can tell me what Ched is? Chola. If you felt that your life is in danger because of an illness and you recuperated. Yud?
Yam.
Cross the sea. Okay, the next one is a Chipo. What's the next Yud?
Desert?
No.
Isn't it
how do you say desert?
Desert.
Midbar,
that's the men.
What's the other Yud? This one's a Chipo.
Beit
Zohar.
No.
Yes, Beit Zohar, Beit Ha'asurim. Let's call it Beit Yisurim. Once we do that, we can make it a Yud. Okay, I guess that's a little cheap. Okay, but so it's illness, going over the ocean, getting out of jail, because when Jews went into jail, it was not a given you were going to get out alive. And depending on what country you're in, it might still apply today. And then traveling in the Midbar. These are also things that we usually will bench Gomel on. We don't have the carbon. We don't have the carbon total. We bench Gomel on these things. Do you necessarily feel every time you fly in a plane that I went over a sea, I have to bench Gomel? Rav Roi wrote a whole book about these halachot of traveling, and there's a lot of different opinions. I personally don't. I don't bench Gomel. I don't feel my life's in danger. But I know in the yeshiva, the policy is, oh, whoever wants to bench Gomel, he's benching Gomel now. Have kavanah to be yotzei. But if you feel that it was dangerous, absolutely you should bench Gomel. I just don't feel like that we do so much. We do so much. I mean, like, people travel to a plane all the time. If I go out on a ship, I wouldn't feel it either. I mean, if I was in a storm and it was being tossed, I think I'll for sure do it. But basically, the main thing is if you feel life's in danger. I had two sons that fought in Gaza in this, like, month-long battle that went on there. And I told my youngest when he came back, I said, like, did you bench Gomel? He said, no. I said, you have to bench Gomel. He goes, why? I said, Yonatan, were they shooting at you? He said, yeah. I goes, bench Gomel. That's not like, oh, I have to tell you, hi, oh, bench on a plane ride. Like, so he goes, oh. And then I saw my next son. I said, you know, Ellie, you got a bench? He goes, oh, I know. I said, okay, thank God one of my sons said, duh. I said, okay, good. Yeah, sorry.
How big is the sea?
Because
you have a dead sea. Is that, obviously it's not accurate.
I would not say that. I mean, me personally, I go rowboating. I have to, like, I'm in England and I'm part of the crew team, you know, after I do my hurdles. No, I don't, I wouldn't, okay? But again, in the time of the Gemara, this is how people traveled. People traveled on business. They went from one country to another. It was a very long journey, and many people didn't make it. So it makes sense that this was something that you would bring a carbon toda for, or at least bench Gomel. Today, I think that it's so commonplace that I personally find it difficult. But if you want to do it, there's certainly many, many people that do. Yes.
Do you bench Gomel for, like, after surgery?
I would think that after surgery you probably should, because any time you go into anesthesia, things could happen.
What if you're awake?
You know, if you're awake, then I guess not. If it's such a minor thing, I don't know, maybe also not. I guess it depends on what type of surgery. Right? I don't know. That's a good question. It's a good question. I had my wisdom teeth pulled. I did not bench Gomel.
I didn't even think of it.
I know. I didn't think about it. But I'm saying, also, before I went, my wife said, oh, I had my wisdom teeth pulled. It was so painful. It's worse than childbirth. Meanwhile, I'm there, and this guy's giving me, like, you know, stuff. And I said, like, when are you pulling? He goes, I already pulled it. I said, really? Childbirth is a cinch. I didn't even feel this.
Yeah.
I'll have twins. You know. Then they explained to me, it's mentioned impacted, not impacted, whatever's the difference. So I'm not making fun. All women that are listening to this, I'm not ripping on you. Anyway, but, you know, I guess it depends. I didn't even think about it.
Did I?
Right. So I don't know. So I guess if you feel that your life's in danger, look, Rabina said to me, I told him once, now I'll say something good about it. The son that I thought was an idiot that didn't bench Gomel, when he was in elementary school, I got a phone call from the teacher. It was during Elul, and said, your son refused to say L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi because the pasuk says, Avi V'Imi Azvuni. My parents have forsaken me. He said, it's not true. He told me, it's not true. He wouldn't say Takava Shofar living in Chutzlars. Anyway, he said, it's not true. It's not true. He goes, how could I say it? So I thought that was beautiful. I mentioned the Rabina. And Rabina said, I felt it before I was being taken into my cancer operation. I'm lying there in that little gown that doesn't cover anything. I'm all by myself. And, like, the surgeon's not in. My family's not in. I'm by myself. I'm waiting for you to come in. And I felt there's no one here but a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So I guess there could be times where David HaMelech certainly felt there's no one here but a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that it could be a very strong feeling.
Does
your son
still say David?
No, I assume he says it now. I just thought it was very cute. Yeah, you want to say?
But we don't really know what is a real miracle. Sometimes
you're right.
So what's the big deal by saying Gomel? Because it's always an occasion to thank Hashem.
You're right. You could say that. I'm just saying, there's certainly people that do. Anyway, let's move on. Last time I didn't even get to finish the parasha. Okay, with the Korban Todah, you brought 40 loaves of bread. 30 of them were not chametz. 10 loaves were chametz. Okay? As I mentioned last time, only this and the Korban Shtei Alechem that was brought on Shavuos was chametz. Nothing else. There was no other chametz in the Beit HaMikdash. So I have 10 loaves of, you know, let's say, challah. Okay? With chametz. Then there's 10 loaves, what was called chalot, but they were...
Masa?
Yeah, it wasn't chametz. It would be like now they make it's like, it looks like a roll, but it's like potato starch or something like that. You know, whatever, soft matzah. It was called chalot. Then there was 10 rikikin. Rikikin were like matzahs. That was like crackers. And then you had 10 that were fried slightly and then baked. So I guess maybe more like, I don't know, a lot. I don't know what it is. Somewhere in between. But they were... Those 30 were non-chametz. Now, you had to finish your Korban Todah within 24 hours. Okay, most Korban Shlamim, you had 36 hours. You had a night, a day, and a night. Okay, I bring it, and I have the following night, day, and night. Korban Todah, you just have the night and the day. So the obvious question is, why do I have less time with so much more food that I have to eat? Korban Shlamim, I don't have all these 40 loaves of bread. How in the world am I supposed to finish 40 loaves of bread? Very good. So, first of all, Chazal say, B'yamot HaMashiach, we're not going to have any need for the Korban Chatat and Hasham. We'll still have a need for Korban Todah. Be saying thank you. Saying thank you. But why the extra food? The Netziv says, as many do, and as you guys just said, what do we do in our shuls? You're very excited about something that just happened. What do we say? Kiddush. I'm sponsoring a Kiddush. Now, you want everyone to come over and say, yo, Tia, why sponsoring the Kiddush? Oh, glad you asked. My daughter just graduated college. Oh, my son just had a baby. Oh, my daughter just had twins. Oh, you know what? All sorts of reasons. You're very excited. You're very happy. You want to share the joy. It's exactly what happens here. I say, Matan, would you come over? I have a lot of food. I'd like you to join. We have meat. We have a lot of good bread. You know, bring your own alcohol. I don't serve alcohol. So, you know, Matan says, thank you very much for the invite. What's the occasion? Oh, I was on a ship. It was being tossed like crazy. I made it to shore. I'm so thankful. So I get to tell the story of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in my life, which is so important, right? To bring the carbon is one thing, but to express it, and then probably I need a lot of people. I even invite Solomon, who's, I'm worried he's going to say, oh, I can't eat this. Look at the color. Anyway, so like, but I get to tell the story. Then I hear there's reasons why I can't eat. But like, I tell the story over and over. This is very significant and very important part of it. Yeah.
People make like a suda if they like go through something.
Yeah, it's exactly right. A suda todah, right? Those two sons when they came out of Aza, we did something in our house. We had a little suda todah. What?
Did you do it annually or no?
No, we did it then when they came out. You know, it came out. It was very cool because my niece was in Israel that time. She was in MMY, and then after that, she called her parents and said, I have to come back Shanabet, and I want to do Sherut Lu'umi. And they said, why? She said, my cousins are fighting. The least I can do is Sherut Lu'umi. My sister-in-law goes, all right, how do you say no to that?
I did it with my brother.
Okay, very cool. Anyway, so another reason that I saw why it should be 24 hours, less hours, this is by the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh says, because I should recognize what Tio was saying a second ago. I should recognize that I had a nace, but I should realize that nisim happened daily. I shouldn't still be recognizing like yesterday's miracle. Today's miracles are happening. So I would give you a day to celebrate today's miracle, but then move on, because there's probably other miracles going on in your life. Also an interesting way of looking at things. Then there's two halachot that are mentioned here that are all over Shas. They're all over in the Pesukim, all over Shas. And they are Notar and Pigol. Anyone know what notar or pigal is? What's notar?
Leftovers.
One second, what?
The leftovers.
I'm not allowed to leave anything left over from the food past the allotted time, whether it be, let's say, the 36 hours or the 24 hours, albi or by Korban Pesach, I just have one night. Okay, any leftover is notar, and then what must happen to the notar? You have to burn it. Good. Okay, what's pigal? Anyone know what pigal is? Good. The proper kavana meaning he thinks he could eat it later than he can. So the carbon thinks, oh, this meat is good. I'm going to save it for the weekend when I have company and we'll barbecue. All right? I'll put it in the freezer. I'll take it out later. If he thinks that, so he messed up the carbon for the person bringing it, then the Gemara gets into what does he owe to the person. If he did it b'mezid, if he did it b'shogeg, how much compensation, all these certain things. That's not in the psukim, but it's in the Gemara's deals with it because the coin messed up the guy. So how does the compensation work? But it does mess it up. You have to bring another carbon. That coin messes it up for me. My carbon's not good. So that's spoken about. Yes.
We said Ali's sons did something like that, or like
they delayed. Ali's sons, they delayed bringing it, and then the yoledet that couldn't go back to her husband because she can't go back in a relation with her husband until the carbon is brought. So they didn't even bring it. Yeah. Pigul is, let's say I'm a Kohen, you bring me the carbon, and it's a carbon toda, which means it has to be eaten during the next 24 hours. And I think I'm going to put this away for the end of at the weekend, because then I'm having a big barbecue, have a lot of company coming over. I messed up your carbon. Because it has to be eaten now. Okay. With the carbon shlamin, it also mentions over here, you can't eat the blood of any animal or the chalav of any bakar v'tzon. What's bakar and tzon?
Show me.
Okay, tzon is sheep. Bakar is domesticated animals as opposed to a chaya, which is what? Good. Chaya and oaf, what's oaf? You can't eat the chalav. So the chalav is usher. This fatty stuff is usher on, let's say, like a cow, a sheep, and wouldn't be, let's say, on a deer. You can eat a deer, venison. The chalev there is not usher. Could be like any other fatty meat. Okay? So chalev from bakar and son is usher, but not chayav and oaf. And give me one second, I'll get back to you. The chazev shok is waved. It's called tenufa, and given to the kohen for all shlamim. What's a chazev? The breast, right? And what's the shok? The thigh. Here it's the right thigh. So the breast of the animal, it talks about where from the where on the neck until where on the animal is considered the breast. That part is given to the kohen, and the right thigh is first waved, tenufa. The tenufa is sort of the way we do the lulav and esrog, all the older different directions, and then it's given to the kohen. Baruch, what do you want to ask? Say?
Why does it say about cars and behemoth?
I don't know. That's what I have in my notes. I don't even know if it said behemoth there and I just wrote down bakar. I don't remember right now.
But it says in like the Torah, like bakar, is it just refer to all behemoths also?
I don't know. I don't remember right now. The last part of the parsha deals with the Zayin Yemei Miluim, the 7 days of the inauguration. Moshe gathers everyone to the entrance of the Mishkan, and he did to Aaron and his sons everything that was commanded in Parshat Tetzaveh to inaugurate the Kohanim to the Avodah. And that includes, they had to be tovel in the mikvah. They had to get dressed in the big day Kohanim. They had to be anointed with the special oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, and the Kalim as well. Korbanot were brought. A Korban Chatas was brought from a par. What's a par?
Cow.
It was burnt outside of the Machaneh. An ola was brought from an ayal. It's an ayal.
A ram.
Okay? There was a shlamim that was called shalmei miluim from these inauguration days. It was also from an ayal. The blood of which was placed on the, I don't know why, right earlobe, thumb, and big toe of the Kohanim. Like I said, I'm sure Rav Hirsch deals with it amongst other Mefarshim. But this happens in a lot of different places. It happens with Mitzarat later on. But this is done. The tnufa of the chazev shok and four representatives from the categories. We have those 40 loaves of bread. I take one of the chametz challah, one of the cracker, one of the laffa thing, one of that, I don't know, Pesach bread, whatever they were, one of each. Right, the gluten-free one, good. I'll have to put that in my notes, that's a good one. And the chaz of Ashok, this was given to Moshe. Because Moshe, during the 7 days, functioned as the Kohen Gadol. 7 days Moshe was the Kohen Gadol. The rest was burnt on, you know, on the Mizbeach. Oil and blood from the Mizbeach was sprinkled on their clothes. They took the rest of the meat and bread. Okay, I said that. The rest of the meat and bread was eaten in the Chatzra Mishkan. Now, Aaron and his sons were commanded to remain in the Mishkan for 7 straight days. Moshe served for 7 days. Why? And remember we said this. Why did Moshe serve for 7 days? Punishment for what?
Complaining
at the burning bush for, Rashi says, how many days? 7 days. So why didn't Moshe, what kind of punishment does it become the Kohen Gadol?
Get a little teaser of what it's
good, a teaser. Like the Knicks playing well enough to think you could beat the Bucks, and then all of a sudden, no, losing it in the fourth quarter. So it's a tease. It's a tease. Moshe got it, only to see that it's being ripped away. I know you didn't get that at all, Solomon, but that was fine. Aaron had to then be convinced to become the Kohen Gadol. He was embarrassed. Why would he be embarrassed?
Because he wasn't supposed to be.
No, because what did he just take part in?
The
Egel HaZahav. Egel HaZahav. And Moshe says, this is why you are chosen. What does that mean? Lots of opinions. But the simplest is because of humility. Because you don't think you're the right guy, that's what makes you the right guy. Okay? There are other ideas as well. Maybe because you sinned in Teshuva, this is why you're chosen. There's a lot of different ideas. But it's a weird lashon because I'm not worthy of it. That's why you're worthy. Okay, whatever that means.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's
yeah. Can
you
say a similar concept by Shaul?
By Shaul, I don't know. He was chosen because he was worthy. Then he
but
said,
"I didn't even think he was."
Right? Maybe. Should be similar to Shaul. All right, we'll stop over here. Shkoyach. Next time, Shemini.